Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
And welcome along to a real world road test on the Radio Show Limited network of audio and visual channels. I'm John Hindhoff. Now, don't get too excited, because any second now you're going to hear a racing car go past, but we're not testing this. We are, however, at Road Atlanta, and our transport for the past 7 days or so is standing in front of me, and that will be the subject of this real world road test. It's a Porsche 992 GT3 4 litre.
Real world road tests.
Well, as you know, I am a bit of a Porsche file. I won't go through all of the Porsche 911 history with this car sitting in front of us. Suffice to say, the 992 is the latest iteration of Porsche's iconic sporty GT car. This one, as with all 992s, sits on 20-inch rims on the front and 21s on the back. The GT3 comes standard with centre lock wheels, and with a very, very pleasant design of sort of an anthracite or titanium satin finish on them, they really set the car off. Now, the car itself is no shrinking violet, but I suppose if you want to drive a GT3, you're probably not the sort of person that's going to want necessarily to blend in. This is Python green, and it's a variation on the old Viper green that you used to see on the Carreras back in the 1970s. The car itself, well, nowadays the 992s all share the same body shell. There's not a narrow-bodied version, so in terms of its stance and its bodywork, it's pretty similar to any other 992. But what sets this one apart is a unique under bumper treatment with big air ducts towards the huge brakes. It's steels on this, not the optional carbon. There are two nostrils in the nose which direct air out from the low pressure area underneath the front of the car and direct it over the top. That means it's got a slightly different shaped bonnet to its more standard brethren. The moment that you open the luggage cover, because that's what it is, of course, at the front, you realise that there's something special going on, because it isn't metal, it's carbon fibre reinforced plastic to try and save some weight. And very nice it is too. Left unfinished underneath, so you can actually see the carbon weave. As with every other 992-911, the luggage space is reasonable. There are two carry-on bags in there, one haversack, a camera, and some other bits and pieces. I reckon we could probably get both the haversacks in there with a bit of clever packing. Let's just close that one down, and we'll go down the driver's side of the car. The four LED running lights are built in to the swept back headlamp pod. Down the side of the car, you've got the door mirror. Very steeply raked now, the A-pillar on the Porsche 911. The GT3 gets an additional strake on the sill area. But what dominates this car in terms of its styling, for me at least, is something that I probably could live without, which is a swan neck mounted rear wing body colour with black M plates and rather substantial looking carriers, the swan neck. Believe it or not, there are actually star-headed screws on that. So I've just realised we could have actually flattened this off a little bit and given ourselves a bit more top speed, like you'd want to do that. But it's there. Ironically, I really like the little spoiler that's part of the engine cover. And if you could only unbolt this top bit, I think, for my eyes, it would look much, much better. 4.0 on the back in between the two downward air intakes into the top of the engine. There's a grill underneath the little minor ducktail. Of course, all 992s have the light bar all the way across the back, but it's those GT3 markings on the back, which is actually a raised badge, that sets this one apart. Two centrally mounted exhaust pipes in a sort of anodized black, and a diffuser under there, which actually does give some downforce. Of course, you've got to be going at quite a speed for that. Otherwise, other than that rear wing, honestly, it's a pretty standard looking 992. Well, that and the bright green paint. I'll tell you a little bit more about the inside when we're driving, but the first thing to note is, like GT3s and some other Porsches as well, you don't get any rear seats in this at all. So there's basically just a carpeted area behind the seats, which you can use as extra storage. Now, to be fair, quite a lot of owners of 992 and other Porsches, me included, leave the rear seats down anyway, and it's a nice little extended partial shelf. There are some tie downs on the very back part of the shelf, but remember, it's not a hatchback, so actually using that space under the rear window is quite difficult on any 911, made doubly so here by the fact that this has got the carbon fiber fixed lightweight seats in it. And when I say fixed, I mean fixed. There's a small button on the front that raises it up and down a tiny bit with a wee electric motor. Although, why you would put lightweight seats in a car and then have an electric motor to have it raise up and down, I don't know. But if you want to make any other adjustments, you're going to have to get your tools out, because it is fixed to the seat, to the seat runner, and the seat back does not move. It does move forward and back. There's a lever at the front. So at least you can do that to help yourself get in and out of the car, which is what I'll do now. So getting in, you've got gravity to help you, and then you can pull yourself forward to your desired seating position, which whilst holding a microphone actually isn't that easy. Right, when you're settled in here, you are completely cosseted. It is not like being in a race car. This is a race seat, all bar the harnesses. Everything else is pretty much standard 992. You've got the big display in the middle. This is a 6-speed manual linked to that 4-litre motor. Proper controls for things like air conditioning, heaters and blowers, flashers, various things for your traction control. This has got front lift on the car and, of course, your suspension settings. There's acres of Alcantara in here. I have to say, I don't mind it so much on the air pillars and the roof, but the round the centre console, the glove box, etc., and certainly on the steering wheel and the gear lever, I'm not a big fan of that. It's dark anodized metal inside, which is quite dark, actually. It makes the whole cabin quite dark. But to lift it, there's a contrast stitching on the leather top to the instrument binnacle. Still has an analog rev counter dominating the 5 dials. Two either side of that are on TFT screens, and you can program them in. Again, that's absolutely standard fare for a 992, so nothing different here. Nothing to see here, you might say. Steering wheel is Alcantara. The two thumb wheels, one either side of the 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock stalk, with a couple of other of buttons. And again, like most other 992s, you've got the drive mode switch as well. The slight difference to anything else that you might drive when you sit in the 992. So that was just telling me it needs a service in 23 days, is, of course, when you fire up that flat six behind you. Isn't that glorious? Absolutely glorious noise. That's, I've just opened up the exhaust as well, just a tiny little bit, just to give you an idea, although the door is still open. But what a noise. I think that that flat six 4 litre, and I know it's going to be more and more difficult for Porsche to keep it within emissions, but I think that's probably one of the best engines they've ever done. It's just running on chalk a little bit now. Let's give it a blip. And there we are. The chalks have just potted off. And you can probably hear the engine just settling down around about 800, 900 revs. Well, that's it then. The Porsche GT3 992. We really like the colour. It's loud. It's no, of course, this is not the end of it. We're going to drive it. Of course we're going to drive it. You didn't think I wasn't going to drive it, did you? Let's get on the road.
Real world road tests.
Right, let's put the windows up and revel in the sound of this wonderful flat six. The sport exhaust is open. We're cruising along the back roads outside Road Atlanta, Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, in this Viper Green 992 Porsche 911 GT3. The driving position is particularly Porsche. If you've been in a 911 over the last probably decade and a half or 2 decades, it will be very familiar to you. These sports seats are definitely body hugging. I mean, I've been in race cars that haven't had as good seats as these. Everything falls to hand as it should do. A natural driving position is the 10 to 2 on the steering wheel. Alcantara, of course, on this GT3. The gear lever, yes, it does have a gear lever for the 6-speed manual transmission, so that makes this a 3-pedal car, of course, is direct. Compares very well to the 7-speed that you find in lesser Porsches. The GTS has a shorter shift version of that 7-speed gearbox. Let's just make the left-hand turn here and we'll drive down past Chateau Alain. So that means we're going to pull up at the traffic lights here for a moment. And away we go. Back down into first. The thing that you notice immediately about this car is how many different personalities it's got. I've just changed up into sixth gear at around about 30, 35 miles an hour, and it's not complaining. But the other thing that you notice about this is how low geared it is. I am in sixth, top gear, at the moment. Sports exhaust burbling nicely on this 55 miles an hour road, so I'm a little bit under the speed limit now, as at 2,000 revs, I am doing 50 miles an hour. Now compare that with 2,000 revs in the 992 GTS with the 7-speed, and in 7th, 2,000 revs is slightly over 70 miles an hour. Now what does that mean? Well, probably not a lot for the first thing I'm going to say, which is about fuel economy. Over the almost 300 miles, not a lot, that we've done in this car,
since we've had it. You're probably going to average somewhere near 30 miles to the gallon, a little bit less than that. And we've done a little bit of revving and popping and banging, and a bit of cruising down the freeways as well, down I-85, of course, to and from Atlanta on the way to Braselton, where Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta is. If I'd been in the GTS, which of course is the 2.93-litre twin turbo, I'd probably have had 5 to 7, maybe even 10 miles an hour, 10 miles to the gallon, excuse me, more than that from the car. I would say cruising around, you would probably have no problem in making 25 miles to the gallon out of this, and maybe a little bit more than 30, 31, 32, possibly even up to 33 or 34 miles to the UK gallon if you were keeping it at sensible speeds. The problem is the sound of the car and the way the car pulls is pretty nigh on addictive. So you do actually want to hold on to the gears a little more. Redline, by the way, is at 9,000 revs. I've been nowhere near that. I've been changing up somewhere between 1.5 and 2.5. And even when I've been accelerating hard, I don't think I've had it much over 6,000 revs. This is an engine that just loves to rev, and it pulls, and it just, it becomes visceral over about 5,500, 6,000 revs. And even on tick over, as you can hear now, it sounds pretty good. So miles to gallon probably isn't going to bother that many people for this car. But the one thing I would say, that this is a genuine cruiser, a genuine grand tourer in the real sense of the words. Just forget for a moment about the impractical nature of not being able to fold the seat, so it's difficult to get stuff into that back parcel shelf area. This is a continent killer. I mean, literally, you can drive it for hours on end. It's so good, so comfortable, and so consummately capable in pretty much everything it does. So you do want to drive it. And by the way, even down around about 25, 26 miles at the gallon, you're going to have over 500 miles in the tank. It takes premium, of course. But that again just speaks to the fact that this is a grand touring machine. But of course, where this car excels, as every 911 does, is not just the fact that it's many cars in one and you can tootle around and get your shopping in it. Yes, we've done that. And by the way, I really like the fact that you can program the front axle lift to recognise where you are by GPS coordinates. So if you're going to a particular supermarket, or maybe your drive is steep, you do it once and save it, and then it remembers it forevermore, which is very clever, and takes the guesswork out of where you think you need to lift the front axle. Anyway, going back to what I was saying, if you accept that this is a car with many facets, one of them, of course, is handling. And every 911 handles. Now, the GT3s, the standard, have the rear axle steering. It's an option on some other cars. It's interesting. You can feel it. I've had it on some of the other Porsches, including the Panamera. And I have to say, on that car, I feel that it does enhance the stability of the car. It's a little unnerving to start with on this GT3, but I have started to get used to it. What it doesn't like is you lifting off completely in the middle of a turn. I wouldn't say it confuses it, but it certainly gives an interesting feeling. Looks like we're going to catch every traffic light today. So you can't delete it, as far as I'm aware. It does add a bit of weight, as does the front axle lift, But I think with a little more time with the car, I would get used to it more. Now, what sets this car apart from its lesser 911 siblings, even the Turbo S, which has more power than this, but in standard form is all-wheel drive, although the Sport Classic takes this gearbox with the 500 and many horsepower that the Turbo S has and makes it to a six-speed gearbox and just two-wheel drive. But what sets this GT3 ahead of its siblings, as I say, is the fact that this has got double wishbone front suspension. On a road car, yes. Exactly the same as you would find on the Porsche Carrera Cup car. So is this really a race car for the road? Well, I said it before, no, it's just a race car. That's what it comes down to. It's multi-adjustable, and that obviously then is going to be compromised for anything other than track work. Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But it's not. Not at all. In fact, this is one of the best riding Porsche. Forget about the handling for the moment. One of the best riding Porsches I've ever driven. Now, the roads here in Georgia, even away from the Atlanta area and the back roads, are in fairness not bad. And they certainly aren't UK and Northamptonshire bad. But the quality of the ride, particularly at the front, is astounding. And bear in mind that I've driven a lot of new Porsches recently, including the often lauded as best in range GTS. I think I'm going to say that this rides at least as well as the GTS, same size wheels and tyres, of course, but it might even be just a tad better. It soaks up the imperfections, and there's a slightly more direct feel to the steering, even at moderate, never mind anything like press-on driving. That's been a real surprise to me. I wasn't expecting that level of refinement in a car that you could basically take as is to the racetrack and have a lot of fun and do some very quick lap times in. So 510 PS, 507 horsepower from the motor, 6-speed manual transmission. It's got all the bells and whistles in terms of the traction control and anti-skid, etc. Pretty much all of those can be turned down or off completely if you want to go into a full track mode. It's got enough comfort inside. This one's fitted with a digital radio as well, although interesting, not the Bose stereo system. And I would say the rear speakers here are struggling a little bit, but then again, you've got that beautiful music being provided by the 4-litre flat six, so you really don't want to mask that too much. So would I have one? I suppose that's the question, isn't it? Would I swap a GTS for this car? Well, I think I might, you know, but it wouldn't be this exact car. So the bits that I would change if this was mine is I wouldn't have so much Alcantara inside. I would strip it back to the smooth leather, which you can do in the options package and on the configurator as we pass Chateau Elan, scene of the Night of Champions just a few days ago from the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. So the Alcantara would go, the sports seats would go in favour of the 18-way seats, and that big green spoiler on the back would have to go as well, because I just can't I can't live with that. Every time I look, I think somebody's driving right up my tailpipes, and it gives me a shock. Also, I'm not sure I need at my age to be driving a car that really does look like a race car. Now, the good news is that Porsche do that exact car. It's called the GT3 Touring. Exactly the same underpinnings. It has a pop-up spoiler like the rest of the 992s, and there's no difference in the price between the two at base level. And that in the UK has gone up recently. So as of October 2022, that's about starting at about £134,000 if you can get one, because you can't get on the list. And those that are changing hands are going for almost twice that. Not sure I'd pay that, but at £134,000 for what you get, whether you want the bewinged race car replica or the slightly more conservative and toned down touring, the Porsche 992 GT3 is a heck of a machine. Yes, please. What? I've got to take it back. Really?
Another real world road test. Check out more at RadioLeMans.com. This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.